Let me tell you how the NGO forum began. It actually is an outgrowth of our very first MMUN conference when a middle school student came up to me and said, "Now that I know I have a voice, I want to do something." And we've heard that from many students over the years. And so 3 years ago, we started the NGO forum. And the forum is designed to provide a way for students to know how to take their ideas and turn them into social action plans. You know, in fact, the NGO Forum and the MMUN conferences reflect the United Nations cycle of activity. In the United Nations, ambassadors come to the General Assembly or to committee sessions. They do research on a global problem. They negotiate different solutions. And then after they have come to ideas about what needs to be done, they go back home and they have them implemented, usually with the help of a local NGO or other organizations back in their home country. So looking at MMUN, the MMUN conferences, the Model UN conferences, capture the research and negotiation component of the UN cycle. And now with the NGO Forum, we have the implementation component. So the purpose of the action plan is really to provide a keystone for all the work that the delegates will do in the NGO committee at the New York conference, or at the Rome conference, or the Midwest conference, because the NGO committee is now implemented at all the MMUN conferences. So the action plan will summarize and organize the delegates' research on the global problem, and then it will help to define the local impact of that global problem by providing new solutions so that the delegates are thinking globally, but they're acting locally. Let's talk about the parts of the NGO action plan. There are three main parts. The first is the background of the problem. The second is possible partners who are already working on this problem. And then the delegates' own proposed solution, whether that's working with another NGO or creating their own NGO. Some of you are familiar with the position paper that's required in the other MMUN committees. Let me make a comparison and a contrast between the position paper versus the NGO action plan. So the position paper has four components, whereas the NGO has only three. But they're alike and they both have focus on the background of the problem, and they both end with possible solutions. And so the country's position and policies and past international actions are folded into possible partners for the NGO action plan. Who's doing that work on the ground? Who's implementing the country's position and policy and looking to see where other UN resolutions may be part of an NGO action plan? So these are similar but different. Let's start by looking at part one of the action plan, the background information. The background information should contain any UN involvement in this global problem. But then let's look at what your native country has been doing. And native country means where you live, that country, not a country you're representing, but the country where you live. And then to get more specific, what's your community's view on the impact of this problem? And how might climate change affect the economy of your community? Other parts of the background guide can include, what is the problem you're trying to address? So for example, in the background problem of global warming or climate change, the solution or the problem that I would be wanting to address living in South Florida is the impact of rising sea levels, whereas someone living in the Midwest or even on the East Coast might want to consider the impact of increased hazardous storms on their community. So although it's the same problem, the impact is different into each community. So how does that problem impact your community or region? What climate-related changes are being observed in your community? So the water level is rising so fast in southern Florida that there are places in Miami, on Miami Beach, where even during a heavy rainstorm, the streets are flooded. So then you have to consider, what are the obstacles or challenges in combating this issue in your community? Are there political problems? Are there social or political problems? And then to try to focus on who you're trying to help, exactly which part of your community you're trying to help. I want to show you an example of a middle school student's paper, action plan paper, that was written on the problem of education in Malawi. This was from last year. So I'm going to read it aloud, and as I'm reading it, if you could follow along and think about the parts of the background that are being addressed in this first part of the action plan. According to 2010 Malawi Millennium Development Goals report, Malawi will fail to achieve goals number 2, universal primary education, and number 3, gender equality. Malawi will fail to achieve these goals largely because there are not enough teachers. When Malawi made primary education tuition-free in the 1990s, it increased student enrollment, but it also created a huge demand for teachers that still exists today. The shortage of teachers had led to classrooms with 75 to 200 students per teacher. This situation lessens the quality of education and discourages students from attending school, leading many to drop out. In addition, there are not enough teachers who are women, which discourages girls from continuing with their schooling. Girls often drop out of school because of early marriage, pregnancy, or family pressure to take care of the household. They have few female teachers to look up to as role models and to ask for help. So now that we've looked at the background of the problem, let's move forward and think about the possible partners who are part number two. So the possible partners really focuses on the local, national, or international NGOs who are already doing work to address this problem in your community. You also want to include the positive result of reducing the impact of global climate in your community. So in thinking about this problem in your community, what did you learn from interviewing the NGOs in your community? What did you find out was the focus of their work? What is their mission? Do they have a current plan or action plan or project? Who are the people who are going to benefit or beneficiaries of this work? What specific kind of help is needed? How is the local community engaged in this project? And are there any of those NGOs with which you would like to partner? Here's an example of possible partners from this same middle school student's paper on Malawi. The Malawi government is trying to address the problem of not enough teachers and women in education by building more teacher training colleges, providing more teacher housing, and setting policies to hire more women in education. The United Nations is also trying to alleviate Malawi's shortage of teachers. In 2011, the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, sponsored the building of the Chiradzulu Teacher Training College, which was expected to graduate 540 teachers every year and benefit 32,400 learners. Multiple NGOs exist to address this shortage of teachers in Malawi. Ripple Africa recruits volunteer teachers and operates schools throughout the country, primarily in the community of Mwaya, The Malawi Volunteer Organization also recruits volunteers for schools in the community of Monkey Bay. So that's an example. Now let's move on to part three, the proposed solutions. So in looking at this part, you want to consider what, first of all, what is your proposed solution to the problem? How will it work? And with whom do you need help in order to implement your solution? Some of you are familiar with the story of Craig Kilberger, who started Free the Children and the Me to We Foundation. When Craig started, the first thing he did was to go and ask his social studies teacher if he could talk to the social studies class to gain support and volunteers for this effort. So the very first thing that Craig did was to recruit like-minded people, and his first band of recruiters were 7th and 8th graders, and he had a group of about 8 young people. It is now turned into the largest children helping children organization in the world. But if Craig had tried to do this by himself, you know, you can't help but wonder, where would he be today? So proposed solutions, you want to consider what's going to be the impact of your solution. The impact needs to also be measurable. And that means that you have a way of knowing if you've been successful. So for example, if you decide that what you want to do is educate more students in your school about the impact of climate change in your community, and you decide that you're going to go into classrooms and talk about it or create a poster and put it in your hall and have times when you would be able to speak at different school clubs, how will you know if you've actually influenced the thinking of other students? Will you ask for feedback? Will you ask them, you know, perhaps put up a Facebook page, see if they like you, put up comments? How will you know that you've been successful? Only if you know how you've been successful can you really measure what your impact has been. Here's an example of a proposed solution. Again, from the middle school student, I propose creating an NGO called Teach for Malawi that recruits recent college graduates from the United States, especially women, to teach primary and secondary school in Malawi for 2 years. To launch Teach for Malawi, I would partner with the Malawi Montessori Christian School in Blantyre, Malawi. The goal would be to bring in between 2 to 3 Montessori teachers from the United States in the first year, and then increase the number of teachers in the following years. These teachers would be recruited with the help of the MMUN website. They would apply and then be interviewed by Mary Beth Saxton, the head of the school. The Malawi Montessori Christian School will work with the Malawi government to make the visa process efficient, and would also like to form a partnership with the already well-established Teach for America in order to identify U.S. college students who would be potentially interested in teaching in Malawi. Teach for America teachers already go through a 2-year program. At the end of their 2 years, those interested in teaching abroad could graduate into the Teach for Malawi. The funding will be obtained by a grant from the Jack Brewer Foundation. So that's an example of a proposed solution. Here's a way to picture what a social action plan would look like if it were a sandwich. So if you were going to make a cheese sandwich, how do you start? You start with a piece of bread or bun. That represents the background. Put in the cheese. That represents your possible partners. Add the lettuce. That represents your possible solutions. And finally, the bun or bread on the top represents your bibliography or works cited page. There are a number of resources on the MMUN website to help you. The two that I'm going to speak about are the NGO Action Plan Checklist and the NGO Action Plan Rubric. Let's look at the MMUN website and where these resources are located. I'm first going to tell you in words, and then I'll show you screenshots. So of course, the first thing you have to do is go to the website, then go to resources at the top of the initial homepage for the MMUM website, then go to the section labeled Preparation for Conference Materials. Finally, click on the following links, NGO Action Plan Checklist and NGO Action Plan Rubric. Now let me show you screenshots. Oh, you can also find evaluation sheets by clicking on the label NGO Forum, which is located on the top left side of your conference page. So here's the website. We're on the home page. Here's resources. And here is Preparation for Conference Materials. So once you go to Preparation for Conference Materials, you want to look at the NGO Action Plan. And that will give you a link that will take you to the NGO Action Plan Checklist. And here is the checklist. So you want to be sure that you've headed the paper properly, the name of the committee, the name of the topic, the student's name, and the school's name. And then comes the body of the section, the three parts plus the bibliography that we've just gone over. Then the NGO Action Plan Mechanics, which I'll go over in just a minute. And then the citations and bibliography, which I'll also go over in detail after we finish this. The important thing is for students to understand that there's no such thing as borrowing an author's words or ideas without citing them. That's called plagiarism, and it's really important that the students learn how to properly cite. They can include all the words and ideas of another author, but they must be cited. Now the NGO Action Plan Rubric, that's again under the resources for a conference. This is a rubric that can be given to students before they write their action plan so they understand what the standards are. And it also helps them to be able to identify what a good plan looks like versus a very good or great plan by looking at the background of the problem, the past actions, possible solutions, the format, and the editing. So let's move on to the practice. Students can evaluate their own NGO action plan with a rubric, or also, once they have written their action plan, they can share the rubric with their peers, and the peer can evaluate and give specific feedback. Now let's talk about how to cite resources. We ask that the students use the MLA format, the Modern Language Format. It's the one that's most widely accepted in the humanities throughout the world, in high school, university, and postgraduate. So for MLA formatting, there's very specific paper formatting. So you want to type your paper, your action plan on a computer, 8.5 by 11 inches, double space the text of your paper. Use font size of 0.12. We prefer Times New Roman. Leave only one space after periods or other punctuation marks. Set your margins to 1 inch on all sides. And indent the first paragraph 1/2 inch to the left. The final page, which is the bibliography or works cited page, needs to contain all of your references. You want to put them in alphabetical order and double space them and make sure that the citations are left justified. So let me give you some of the basic rules about MLA format, which is sometimes called parenthetical citation. And that's because the sources are placed in parentheses after a quote or a paraphrase. There are several different kinds of sources to be cited. So sometimes you know the author, sometimes you don't know the author. Sometimes there are multiple authors, And sometimes the source is an electronic source, like the internet. We're going to deal with each one of these sources. In a known author, here's an example of making the citation in the text of your paper. Wordsworth stated that romantic poetry was marked by, quote, spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings, end quote, and then in parentheses the page number, because we already know the author. Or the quote can be followed by the name of the author and the page number. So romantic poetry is characterized by the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings, end quote. Wordsworth, 263, in quotes. So here are two examples of when you know the author and you have the page. Then in the final page, the works cited page, the citation would look like this. Wordsworth William, so the name of the author, the publication, the publisher in London, Oxford UP, and the date. So sometimes there you want to cite a quote, but you do not know the author. So you want to cite the article name and the page number. For example, we see so many global warming hotspots in North America, likely because this region has, quote, more readily accessible climatic change data and more comprehensive programs to monitor and study environmental change, end quote. And then in parentheses, the name of the article, Impact of Global Warming, page 6. Now, if this work isn't going to be in the text, it needs to be cited in the work cited or bibliography, and it would be shown this way, the name of the article, the publication, the date, it's from the web, and the date of its printing. When you have multiple authors, here's an in-text example, and these are the names of the authors. Author, writer, and Doe argue that this concept is quite interesting, and a page number. Alternatively, you could say the authors state, quote, this concept is quite interesting. In parentheses, the name of the authors and the page number. In the works cited page, you're going to need to place the name of each of the authors and then the name of the book, the city, the publisher, the year, and the print. Here's how to cite electronic sources when you do know the author's name. The easiest way to prepare the ground for planting is to add a rich soil conditioner, the last name, and then the name of the article. This would be cited in the works cited entry as the author's last name, the author's first name, then the name of the article, the name of the website, and then the URL. So sometimes you may have an electronic source, but you don't know the author's name. Here's an example. The easiest way to prepare the ground for planting is to add rich soil conditioner. In this case, you just add the name of the article. And in your final bibliography, you would have the name of the article, the name of the website, and then the URL. Let's summarize by some action, NGO action plan tips. Keep your plan simple. The plan that I read to you was comprehensive, but it was really simple and focused. Be sure to cite all your sources. Use the bibliography at the end using MLA guidelines. Remember that your action plan is really your foundation for an opening speech that you will do at the conference. Once the action plans have been edited and re-edited and the teacher has sat down with the student and edited, made a final edit, then it's time to submit the papers to the school's dashboard. You want to make sure your deadlines are met. The action plans are submitted before the due dates. The due dates vary by conference, but in general, they're due a month ahead of time. We suggest that you begin long before that to begin the writing of the action plan and to focus on each component rather than just write the plan all at once. Focus on the background and really develop that and edit it, peer review it, then do the next component and then the final solution. So when you're ready to put it all together, it's a complete action plan, and the final edit would be done with the teacher, and then it would be submitted. Here's a step-by-step process. I'll show you the screenshots afterwards. You go to your dashboard and you look under position papers and you click on the link Upload Position Papers Now. Realize that you're uploading a NGO action plan, not a position paper, but it's the same format. The two topics will be listed, and in this case there's just one topic, so you choose a file on your computer as a Word document or PDF, and then upload all the NGO action plans for your group, and then hit the button Upload Position Papers, so that you'll be uploading all of the action plans at one time and not uploading one and then another. It's so much easier for our system to keep track of your action plans as a group rather than individual ones. So we appreciate your help by uploading them all at once. So here's a picture of a screenshot of a home page, and here's the registration for middle school conference. Here's position papers, and here's the button to upload your position papers now. Here's where you see the NGO forum, and which is the topic that you will click on. And upload position papers. Frequently asked questions. How long should the action plans be? We'd like to have them be 2 pages long. They should be structured according to the format that I've gone over, the 3 parts plus the bibliography page. How many sources? They should have at least 3 sources. One of them can be the background guide, but they need to have at least 3. How many times should they be edited? That's a difficult question because obviously some students need more help than others. But at a minimum, I would say 3 times by the student, by a peer, and then the final edit with the teacher. What if a student misses a deadline from the schedule? So what do you do? I think with these kinds of problems, it's important to try to find out why the student missed the deadline. Oftentimes, students miss deadlines because they really don't understand the work. Or it could be competing interests of the sports program or music program. So it's important first to find out and then to set a new deadline with the student. If the delegate doesn't have enough information or the paper is too short, what do I do? I think it's, again, a time to sit down with the student to try to determine why they don't have enough information. This is can be a difficult task for a student to actually think through all the steps of how they'd solve a problem, how they research the background, have they interviewed all of the NGOs, and have they asked enough questions to understand what these NGOs are doing, and what part of the work of the NGO are they interested in, or do they want to take a whole different tack and develop something themselves, a project by themselves. So students need a lot of guidance with this, and then oftentimes in this case, working on the action plan requires direct teaching on the part of the guide. That exploration is, of course, very helpful and important in the research, but these are particular skills and knowledge that the students need to gather in order to write the paper and then to be successful with it. If the student's information is not correct, then I would again, have a conference with the student, find out what references have they been using? Where did they get their information? Oftentimes, it's really students' lack of understanding where to find the information when they come up with inappropriate information. If the student's writing is very bad or hard to understand, what should I do? There are students in every committee in MMUN who have learning differences, and that really doesn't have to hold students back. Certainly, there are students who have difficulty with writing. Some may have learning differences, some may just have difficulty. But the important thing is, has a student done the research? Do they have in their head what they want to say and how they want to solve this problem? So if that's the case, then can a parent or a teacher support them, possibly be a scribe, or help the student record their action plan and then write it from their words? Sometimes students who are not great at writing can be great at speaking. And so their work is very important at a MMUN conference, but they will need assistance in order to get their thoughts on paper. The student has written a paper which represents the student's real home country's views and not the MMUN country. Well, this is a problem that occurs with the position papers, but obviously this is not a problem that occurs with the social action project, because they are supposed to focus on their own country. The student's native language isn't English, and the paper must be in English. What should I do? Typically, it's easier for non-native English speakers to write in their native language. So if they're from Mexico, write in Spanish. If you're in China, write in Chinese, and then translate the paper. Google translators and other online translators can help for the first start, but then, of course, they need to be polished with the help of the teacher so that it is understandable English. The student did not correct the NGO action plan that was handed back to them. What should I do? I think, you know, again, trying to find out what is this at the source of this problem, why the student didn't make the corrections. Is it a lack of skill, a lack of knowledge? And how can the student be helped? I would have a conference with the student, try to identify what the nature of the real problem is, and then give the student a new deadline. The student has not completed the required research and other required MMUN work at all. What should I do? This can be a problem on a number of levels. There's, of course, a problem: does the student know the topic? Have they been able to find the proper research? Do they have the skills to write it up? So that's one problem. Sometimes the problem can be internal. The student's not sure they want to go to an international conference. So I know at the school I was at in Indiana, there were students who had never been outside of the small Midwestern town. And going to New York can be scary. And I know there were at least two students from different years who became kind of passive-aggressive in their work at MMUN. When the teacher delved down, what it really was, they were anxious about going to New York and meeting students from all over the world. So that was that's an important thing to address, if in fact that is part of the problem holding the student back. So now it's time for your questions or problems that you've run into in your school club regarding the NGO forum or action plan. We have time now to go over that, but just as a further notice to you that if things come up that seem to be problematic, please feel free to get in touch with us through info@montessori-mun.org. And now I'd like to take your questions.